Hello and welcome to Hey Art, What's Good? We are a podcast based in the northeast of England where we like to see what's good with art. My name is Alice.
My name's Rosie.
And we have a special guest today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
My name is Lydia and I work at Shieldfield Artworks, which is an art space in Shieldfield, Newcastle.
It's a pleasure to have you today.
Yes, if listeners remember, it was just over a year ago now since we last had a chat with Shieldfield Artworks. We had a chat with Alison about the whole rebranding from Holy Biscuit to Saw. So it's nice to have return guests on. Well, return guest organisations, I guess.
Yeah, it's nice to check in. We're very keen to see what you've been up to in the past year. But before we do, we're going to focus on the good because that's what we're all about here. So before we get all arty farty, what's good with you guys?
Well, my good thing this time around is kind of old. I'm late to the game. There's a series, a Netflix original series called Maniac, which I've been working through recently, in the past couple of weeks. And it's really good. It's so bizarre. I remember when I first saw the trailer when it came out in 2018, I was like, how is this a show? And it doesn't look like it makes sense, but it's really good.
It kind of doesn't, but it's
no,
great.
No, not at all. It's Emma Stone and Jonah Hill are the main characters, and they take part in this drug trial. And it's a weird genre bending sci-fi dystopia, just weirdness. And it's really good, so I would recommend it. I'm just over halfway through, so I've got no idea how it's going to end.
Ooh, I watched it when it came out and I've forgotten how it ends, so I might have to rewatch it.
Ooh, okay.
I really like Emma Stone, but I hadn't heard she'd been in that. That's great.
Yeah.
She's amazing. Emma Stone is a gift.
Yeah. And Jonah Hill, it's quite a serious role for him. It's a super different one just to anything else I've seen him in, so I like
it.
Yeah,
and I liked him in it because it wasn't the role I thought he'd be playing.
Oh, intriguing.
Yeah. So that's my good thing.
Mine's not anywhere near as exciting as that. My good thing is that I had a bath this morning. I got up and I was like, God, my body aches because I work at my work is really active because I work at a zero waste shop. So it's a lot of carrying lots of big bags of oats and putting them into big boxes and carrying the boxes and lifting the boxes, and after a day of work I'm just aching, so I was like, ooh, I'll have a bath. And normally my baths are a night thing, so it was exciting.
Try that. I've never had a bath in the morning.
Would recommend. I had cups of tea and a banana.
Oh wow.
Amazing.
Breakfast in the bath.
Yeah, it's like breakfast in bed but level up.
But much warmer and cozier.
Yeah, and with more risk. You don't want to drop your toast in there, wet crumbs galore.
Oh, geez, gross.
Wow.
Amazing. Well, I don't know if you can beat a day bath, Lydia, but what is good with you today?
Mine's kind of from last month. I don't know if that's cheating.
No, that's good.
Great. So I managed to see my parents who live on in the south, and we went coastal walking in Cornwall. Just to be outside and by the sea is, I think, one of the best things. So I think that's what's good with me. And being able to see my family finally, because the last time I saw them was in December.
Oh my goodness. Wow. That is a good thing. It's not a competition, but you
holla.
Win.
Oh, that's so lovely. And Cornwall as well. Never been in Cornwall.
I'd recommend it.
I bet it was lovely weather.
Yeah, it was mostly sunny when we were there, which was great.
Oh. It's like another country. If you go that far down south, it's like you're in France or somewhere. Actually in. It feels like I'm on proper holiday when I go down south.
And the sea is so much warmer down south. So it's like having a day bath in the sea.
Hey.
I love that. Linking it all together.
Amazing. Well, now that we've done that section of the podcast, we're here to have a chat about Shieldfield Artworks. What is your, who are you in Shieldfield Artworks, Lydia?
So I am program manager. So anything that you see when you come in, at the moment, anything that you see online is kind of organised by me and my program team, which is basically me and my colleague Gemma. So, that's what I do.
Power team. Yeah.
And like, you've been pretty busy, like having a good look on the website recently, and you've had like a lot of stuff going on. So I thought we could have just like a little chat about all the cool program updates, because we've been to Seoul a couple of times, and it was just really full exhibitions. So there was the Chili Studios exhibition, which I can't remember what it was called last year, and then the first exhibition of the Seoul rebrand. So you've had a wealth of new like programs and activities on since then, and I'd love to have a chat about them. I know Rosie in particular is very excited about one of them. So do you want to start off, Rosie?
Yes, I would absolutely love to. As I just said, I work in a zero waste shop. I'm all about sustainability, and I love food. So obviously, I really want to talk about Sheelfield Wheatfield, because the idea of like, I love urban gardening, and I also love art galleries. So what better place to have urban gardening than in a creative space? Genius. So I just generally want to talk about that and how exciting it is.
Yeah.
Like, where did this idea come from? And because I know when we first went to this, so which I made the transition from Holy Biscuit to Seoul, there was a display there, which I remember it vividly. It was like a big map of Sheelfield, and it was kind of color coded for all the different green spaces you could make. And it's almost like this is a response to that, and like developing on that. Like, you almost set that intention at the opening, and this is the follow-up. So I'd love your two cents.
No, yeah, that's right. We the project started with we're working with a guy called Dr. Mikey Tompkins, and he is a specialist in urban agriculture. And so we asked him to come up to Newcastle and to do some walks around Sheelfield, because one of the things that a lot of residents feel is there's the green spaces are not really utilised in Sheelfield, and it's quite built up with a lot of concrete buildings. And so we wanted Mikey to take residents, but also people who work in the council, and just people who are like yourself, Rosie, people who are interested in food and sustainability. And he took people on walks around Sheelfield to look at different sites and think about how could these be used for growing, so that we can become more sustainable in the way we consume food and the way we produce food. And on one of those walks, there's a lady called Jill. She's absolutely fab. She volunteers in the Forum Cafe in Sheelfield, and she said that she'd noticed some wheat growing in one of the planters in Sheelfield, and she thought it would be great to be able to try and grow wheat. And so Mikey was like, yes, we're going to do this. And he came up.
I like the sound of Mikey.
He's so good. He's so enthusiastic. So he developed a project called Sheelfield Wheatfield. And so we have grown, we've sown seed, wheat seed, in our garden at Seoul, and around the local community in different places. It's kind of guerrilla gardening. So we have asked permission in certain spaces, but others we just went ahead and planted.
Well, I love that. That is very rock. That's rock
yeah.
and roll. That's...
Well, I just think you're going to spend absolutely ages getting permission for something that I don't think anyone's going to kick up a fuss at if you try.
Yes,
just I agree.
Yeah,
and if anything, you're making the space a lot nicer. Yeah. So, I think it's kind of that rule of like, well, it's sometimes better to like ask for like do it first, ask for permission later, because you know, even if you get asked to be like, we don't want this garden, which I feel is very unlikely, but it's like, well, we did it, we proved it can be done, you know, and that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I think it's inspiring community members as well to be like, oh, actually, we can use these spaces for growing. So yeah, we did that, and at the moment it is, I would say it's 1 to 2 weeks away from being harvested. Mikey says
it is looking really
good. I'm really excited, although we have got some pesky birds who are eating a lot of the grain. But yeah,
you need an art competition for like the most creative scarecrows
or
something like that.
That is an idea. I'm gonna, if we do this next year, Rosie, you better make one.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Bring it on.
Yeah, so we're gonna harvest it hopefully in the next few weeks, and then we are gonna mill it down, and hopefully there's a local bakery that's recently opened up, and they're going to hopefully mill it, and if government guidelines are okay, we're going to have a baking workshop where some of the people who have been part of the project can learn how to bake bread, and we're going to make a Sheffield loaf. So yeah,
that's so cute.
I'm really excited about that.
I was just thinking, this is beautiful.
But yeah, the basic idea is kind of, and we've seen throughout COVID that our food sustainability is, and the way that our, what's the word, the way that we buy food in the supermarkets is just, is quite precarious.
Precarious, yeah.
And so if we can think about actually how do we produce that food ourselves, that is a far better way. So that's kind of the premise of it. And it's also about gathering people together and really celebrating Sheffield as a space and a community and people who really want to see it flourish.
Yeah, I love it. It's really, to me, it's a lot about kind of like reclaiming the land almost. So I know of the past when we've interacted with SOAR, a key focus of this institution is to be like an active hub in the community. And one of the things that I remember from the last exhibition we went to was a lot about kind of student accommodation being built up. So that kind of, it's that weird gentrification of like the people who've lived there all their lives don't really have a place there anymore. And then the people who are fleeting, who are just passing through, are the ones who are prioritized, which doesn't necessarily make sense all of the time or ever. but I love this. Like you said, it's very guerrilla, it's punk, and it's about saying like, this is your space and you have ownership over it. And this is ours. And we can do what we want to do with it. And it's truly something that's giving back because, I mean, not just the people who are involved. I can imagine the people who've been walking past on their commute or something or just to the supermarket have been watching this wheat grow and have been thinking, I could do that. Like, I've got a bit of a sun trap in the backyard. I could do that. And is that not what art galleries are for? Art galleries are to inspire people and particularly the community they're in. So I just think it's beautiful. As well as all the sustainable elements and all this, I just think that's spot on.
It's been really interesting as well. I took a photo because I've been through to water the wheat every week over lockdown. And I took a photo of the wheat with the student accommodation in the background. And it's just really interesting. Like we're doing a project about growing and root, and like the wheat was being rooted and growing, and then you have this, I don't know, building that's just suddenly grown up in the background. And like the metaphor of that, of what is community, what is this space for, and how do we grow together in that? Because I also don't think it's not the student's fault. And no, how do all. We how do we integrate students into a community that has been established for a long time? And how do we integrate wheat into a community that has been established for a long time?
In my brain, I was just like, ooh, it's almost like the wheat is a metaphor for the students because they grow here and then they like evolve and become something that feeds the community.
Do you love a metaphor?
I love a metaphor. Can't be it.
Well, and that's the thing as well, like something we definitely talked about a lot with Alison last time was the kind of community-focused goal that Sheffield Artworks has. And like a lot of that we've seen in the kind of COVID-19 response program that he's been doing. So he's been doing, there's a whole bunch of new stuff to get people.
Yeah, it's extensive.
Yeah. So do you want to maybe tell a little bit about some of the like, COVID, like, response stuff that you've been doing?
Yeah, so we have partnered with a group called Dwell Being, which we've worked quite closely with for a long time. Alison, who was on the podcast last time, is actually a founder of that group. And we came up with a few different projects, basically that we could do socially distanced, but we could also encourage people who are online to engage, but also people who aren't online. That was important for us because there are some people in our community who are not. So one of the projects that Dwell Being specifically led on was Sheffield Grows. And so we organised soil and pots and seeds to be distributed throughout Sheffield. And actually a few other people who are part of the Sheffield community but don't necessarily live in the area. That was also important for us. There are people who we...
as someone who's started a, sorry to interrupt that. As someone who started a garden in quarantine, I think that's one of the nicest things I've heard, because for my mental well-being, that garden, and you, it was what you were saying when you've been going to water the wheat every week. Yeah. And I'm like, that would, what a lovely thing to do every week, is like a milestone in your week. So that's a wonderful idea, that to send out living things.
Yeah, and I think there are a few tower blocks in Shieldfield, and for people who were shielding and who actually couldn't physically go outside because they couldn't get down the stairs or use the lift, to be able to have a garden on their windowsill. People who don't own a garden, like, you can grow, and Dwellbeing has started up a WhatsApp group with all the people who are involved in the project, and just being able to see the photos of people growing the tomatoes, peppers, and then not just seeing that grow, but then offering, oh, I have too many courgettes, does anyone want some? And then
that is the eternal problem. If anyone listening has ever grown courgettes, they know exactly what you're talking about.
As long as they don't turn to marrows, you're okay.
Yeah. Because what do you do with a marrow, really? Except take it to a county fair.
When I was a child, my dad's allotment grew too many courgettes, turned all into marrows, and my mum cooked with marrows every meal for a month.
Oh my god, the marrow month.
The marrow month.
It was like just farmer problems. Yeah.
And for farmer problems, I'm now also including the people of Shieldfield.
There we go. That Shieldfield grows, and we're hoping to develop that further and into actual garden space within once Shieldfield Wheatfield has harvested, and to actually have a space where people can come and learn how to grow.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah,
keep your ears peeled for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we also have a project called Shieldfield Cooks. And I created cooking videos of how you can cook with the ingredients you have in your cupboard.
Ooh, I love it.
Yeah, the idea being a lot of people can't get out or couldn't get out to the shops, or some people can't afford to buy more food, or just don't know what to do with those back of the...
I was about to say, it's the sort of thing I did when I was like just about to leave my university house every year, when I was like, right, I've got to use everything in the cupboards. I'm not allowed to go shopping for like the last month. Let's do this.
Yeah.
How do I give myself a nutritious diet? Very limited ingredients.
And it is a skill, I think, to know what to do with, I don't know, desiccated coconut salmon and coconut milk, which is one of the things I need. I did that, and that came out weekly, and we also had a Ready Steady Cook live stream every month, which for me was absolutely terrifying, because the person on the other end had the ingredients and they revealed them on Zoom, and then I had to immediately come up with a recipe and lead them through how to make it. So
oh no. Whoa. That sounds like so much fun, though.
It was good. That was the one with the desiccated coconut. My mum was actually on the end of the call, and she picked the most difficult stuff.
That's what mums are for.
What did you manage to make?
We made we just like fried the salmon in the coconut milk, and then she had also put kiwi and walnuts, so we made a Waldorf salad.
Oh wow.
And then we just sprinkle coconut over the top. Apparently it was good. I didn't have any. But...
I mean, I'd eat that. Definitely. But my God, that's I mean, she didn't make it easy for you.
Nope.
It's because she wants you to grow, you know. She wants to challenge you, push you to be your best.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. And have you found that that's led in nicely from the kind of the Shieldfield Grows stuff? Like, have you managed to incorporate like the fresh ingredients like that into the Shieldfield Cooks?
Yeah, so the last one that we're going to do, we're actually, there's a lady in the community called Ken who has been kind of going out and taking vegetables from houses to houses. So she's going to try and collect produce from every household that's been part of Shieldfield Grows. And then I'm going to use all of those ingredients to make the last meal.
Oh,
so that's the idea. Yeah,
that sounds quite cool. It does sound gorgeous. No, I this is why I like Saw. This community is just beautiful.
Well, thank you.
It's like the kind of community that I want to see. You know, we see good things about galleries manifesting all over the place, but I do think like community is the word that comes to mind when someone says Shieldfield Artworks. I'm just like, community immediately. Mm-hmm. It's people first, which is nice. Yeah. It's not about like, not, I mean, it is about the art and all that sort of stuff, but it's about, it's more about the people and the place. And that's what I find mm-hmm. exciting about a gallery or an art institution, because I like it to like reflect the place it's in. So that's lovely. Yeah. And it's lovely to hear that you have such an active and proactive community that are so willing to take part and who interact with each other. And it's, I think there's something really special going on.
Yeah, it's really important for us as well for local residents to take on, like we're doing this with people and not for them, and to take mm-hmm. on a role in, okay, this is what we want in our community, this is what we need, because none of the staff at SOAR actually live in the local area, so we don't just want to go in and like, okay, this is what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. So it's really important for us for it to be community led. So yeah, that's why we try and get as many voices involved in our program as possible.
Hey. And yeah. What a program.
Yeah. Oh, and we had one other project. We were doing Shieldfield Draws together. So my colleague Gemma has been writing positive things, really. So yay. She each 2 weeks she's been writing a brief for people to send a response, a drawn response into. So that could be, one of them was on growing, actually. What would you like to see grown in Shieldfield? And another one was on like architecture. What do you think of the architecture? What would be your ideal Shieldfield? So just to kind of get people to think about positively about the area, really, in a time where it's quite easy to be negative.
Yes.
And then eventually we're hoping to get those drawings, use a process called cyanotype, where you basically develop those onto material, and we're going to make some napkins for our end of harvest festival. So yeah, so
cool. It all links together. I love there that. You are. It's all intertwined. Beautiful.
Oh, amazing. I love cyanotypes as well. It's such a like a fun, like relatively easy process. Like I've done all the hard work, and I'll just let the sun take care of
exactly.
it.
It's like wheat, really.
Yeah, well, there you go. Links upon links. Oh, that's great. Well, have you found that students have been active in with the SOAR kind of community, like events and programs and stuff?
Yeah. So my colleague Gemma heads up the student aspect of things, and we have had quite a lot of art students from Newcastle University involved, because part of their course, there's an option to learn about something called participatory action research, which is an art form that we do at SOAR. And so students have come for that, and then actually been really interested and excited about what we're doing, and wanting to get involved in the community and hear about more what's going on. With regard to students who live within the Shieldfield area, we're still trying to develop that, really. And it's like you said, it's so hard. Maybe students are only there for a year. And so how do you get people interested who are then going to leave again, just naturally because of the stage of life that they're in? So yeah, we're still trying to think about that and how that works.
It's an ongoing process, I imagine. Yeah. Well, there's enough for them to get involved with. So it's like, I mean, maybe they're just spoiled for choice. Maybe that's it.
Exactly.
But it is nice. There's something for everyone, and it's like all levels as well, which is nice. So you can be, you know, you could be a professional artist, or you could be picking up a pen for the first time in your entire life. Yeah. And there's still a place for you. And that's you know, this is what we want to talk about. This is what makes us excited about art. So thank you.
And something I wanted to ask about as well was Shieldfield narrates, because that's like a lot more specifically to kind of reflect on the like the COVID-19 pandemic and stuff. So do you want to quickly tell what that is, Shieldfield Narrates?
Yeah, so the idea behind Shieldfield Narrates is that often, especially at the moment on the news, you just hear big stories or often just sweeping statements. And actually, we wanted to hear the hidden voices in our communities, that, or the stories that haven't been heard or and will never be heard otherwise. And so we've asked people to keep diaries during COVID. That's not just written, that could be drawing or oral and people speaking. And the idea is we're trying to collect a variety of voices of the stories of people in Sheolfield to be kept, and so people in the future can hear those stories and learn from what people have experienced. So we haven't actually received any of those yet. We're just asking people to keep those, and hopefully we will collect those. And I'm not sure what we're going to do with them, but we would like to do something creative.
Yeah. It's like some sort of archive almost, of memories. Yeah. The archive of memories.
Like building like a historical document. Yeah. Like that's so, because it's very much a historic kind of moment in time. I think that's definitely the thing that like future Sheolfield residents will really appreciate, having that as kind of a log and stuff. So that's really, I really just like that, like as a program and as an initiative. That's such a cool idea.
Yeah, there is, I can't remember what it's called, but there is a organization that does this each year, and they have a log of people who send in their diary entries. I can't remember the name, but it's quite a fascinating project.
Ooh,
yeah. That does sound, I mean, it's one of those things I always kind of want to do, is like keep a diary, but then I'm just like, I can't be bothered. Like, because I mean, I guess you don't have to do it every day, but then, because I know I definitely wouldn't do that. And I was like, I guess you could just do it for big events, but then I know I'd forget to do that. So
the thing is, when you have
diary keeping's always been like a really,
if you have a big event, you're too busy at the big event to write about it.
Usually, no, that's
so
true.
I would argue quarantine is the best time to keep a diary, because there's nothing to do. And
no,
you can reflect whilst writing in your diary that there's nothing to do, and that is what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. Me mom is actually, like, she's kept diaries, like, forever, basically. And sometimes it's really come in clutch, because, like, be like, when did this doctor's appointment happen, like, 10 years ago? And she's like, oh, I'll find out. And then she can. So...
That's so good.
So I can definitely see the use.
Your mother is amazing. Isn't she the one who can also just see if someone's pregnant?
Oh yeah, that's a weird skill she has. Yeah. Oh, but back to Sheolfield artworks. have you found that obviously introducing all the new program stuff? Have you found that it's been like especially busy during this time, or do you think it's kind of evened out because you can't be really at Sheolfield artworks a lot?
Yeah, I think we've still been busy. It's just looked different, because most of my role was like planning for exhibitions and events and talking with people, which you can't do any of that anymore.
Yeah.
So it's totally changed what we're doing, but we're still, I think the community is so important still that we don't just want to pull out and not do anything, because what we usually do has been taken away from us. So I think it's still been busy, and actually I was saying to Gemma today, I've got so much work to do at the moment, because as well, just thinking about reopening and developing projects now that we can physically meet a little bit takes a lot, because there's a lot to do with risk assessment and things like that.
Oh God, of course.
But also kind of just pastorally making sure people are okay. I'm sure most people do that generally anyway, like how's your family, how are your friends, the odd text, a phone call, but doing that within the community context is really important as well, to make sure. We work with quite a lot of vulnerable people, so we want to make sure that they're okay.
I mean, little things like that WhatsApp group you said that the gardeners have, you just don't know how important that can be to someone. You know, if someone, maybe if they're a little bit older or they live alone, or, you know, you just don't know. And to have a little... just to have a little space where someone's there just to like show your cucumber to, you know?
Yeah.
Or whatever. Exactly. That was a bit of a euphemism, actually, but take that one back. Show them your strawberries? I don't know. Produce.
Yeah,
that's the
word. Fresh new produce.
But yeah, I think it is so important to just have... Well, you know, I've always thought it's just nice to like say hello to people like when you pass them or at work or whatever, because you don't know what people are going home to, and in quarantine you don't know where people have been stuck, and it's been very hard for people, but a lot of people would never tell you, and there's no reason for you to ever find that out. So it's just nice to have these little support systems in place.
Yeah, I mean, what like I'd love to ask about is like what a Shield feel like planning for the future and stuff, but there's potentially a bit of a hitch in that. So we've obviously heard that you have like lost some funding and you obviously need money to kind of continue. So do you want to tell a little bit about what the current situation is and how people can help?
Yeah, so we have lost our core fundo. Most of what we do at SOAR is funded by one trust, and they, because of COVID, have had to pull out. And so we've managed to find skeletal funding until January so we can carry on doing this COVID response and all the work that we're doing until then. But after that, we won't have any core funding. And so if we don't have any money, we have to close, which just in all of our minds is really sad because, I mean, not only will we lose our jobs, but the community is... We're starting to see it flourish a lot, and we want to be part of that. And I think there's such value in the work that we're doing. So we really want that to carry on. So what we are promoting at the moment are two things. We have a Just Giving page where we're trying to raise about £50,000. And that sounds like a lot, but that's how much it costs to run us for a year. And those are like the minimum amount that we need for each year. So you could head to our website, and at the top of that, there's a Give to SOAR page, and that will link you to our Just Giving page. And even like £5, that all helps. If you want to give £2,000, great. But,
but no pressure.
Yeah. But yeah, every little really does help. And also just sharing that with friends and family and people who you think might be interested in supporting us. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing we are wanting to promote is to become a monthly giver. So you would be a monthly supporter, counted as SOAR family. And just giving £5-10 each month, and actually that is far more sustainable for us to know we have this income coming in each month, and just to know we have people who really believe in us and are supporting financially each month, but also just really interested in what we're doing. So those two things you can find out about on our website, on our Give to SOAR page.
We'll have links to everything on the post for this episode and stuff as well.
And we'll spam social media as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's just such a shame. Like, we haven't seen like the full effects of like how many people aren't going to make it back and how many organisations aren't going to make it back. Like, you might have saw recently, Rosie, and if you know who Thought Foundation are, Lydia, that they can't open again after this, and it's just such a shame because they had like a really like good community focus and an art focus and stuff,
beautiful space, beautiful projects, beautiful like employees. It's very sad, and we'd hate to see that happen to like, well, anyone else really, but SOAR is included in that.
Yeah It's so hard,
very sad,
but yes, definitely gonna shout far and wide, because I don't want SOAR to close. It's really nice, and I really want to see all this wheat be made into bread and stuff, and like I want a scarecrow next year, and
we could have a little scarecrow, you and me, with headphones and microphones. Oh my god. No, this like
some vanity scarecrows.
Well, I was thinking we could do like people from art history, like imagine like a Picasso scarecrow and like a Frida Kahlo Picasso and like the Picasso what scarecrow. It's all getting mixed up.
It's all heavily Picasso based for some reason.
Really feeling Picasso. No, but how class would that be? If we haven't by now given you enough reasons to support Shieldfield Artworks, I don't know what else we can do, because it's class. No, it's... And I just, but hope is not lost. I feel like that's the key message. Like, there's time. January is like round the corner. It sounds like it's far away, but we'll blink and it'll be Christmas. So, once summer ends, it's basically New Year. So there's time. So I just feel like it's important to stress that, like, it's not the end yet. And, like, we can actually pull together. And the project that SOAR does and conducts is proof of what a community can do if they unite and come together for a common goal. So I think it's like we're already doing it, guys. We just need to push a little bit harder.
Yeah, and I would really hate if the building was replaced by another block of student flats. Yeah. I think that would just crush us a little bit.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that is the likelihood.
I think as well, in an area like Shielfield, there used to be 19 pubs and there used to be a community centre and so much going on. And because of lack of funding, all of those things have been closed. And we don't want to see another community space be closed. We want to see Shielfield flourish, and we want to protect that space as a place for that the community can come rather than another block of flats.
Yes.
Yes. Exactly.
Totally.
Oh, amazing. Well, we've talked about the programs at the minute. We've talked about the Just Given and stuff. Is there anything else that we haven't covered that you'd like to have a shout about, Lydia?
We are maybe a bit about our Painting for Fun class.
Oh, yes, please. Yeah.
So the Painting for Fun class, they usually meet on a Tuesday in our building, and quite a lot of people who struggle with mental health issues and experience loneliness come to that class. So for it to be closed is quite a big deal for them. So we started an online exhibition where the members are sending in pictures of what they've painted or drawn during lockdown. And that's a really great way for members to see what other people are doing and to be inspired and encouraged. We would usually do an annual exhibition, but that's not possible this year. So that's a way of works being celebrated. And we are, in the next couple of weeks, going to launch a Painting for Fun sale. We also usually sell the works and all those profits go back into the class. So that's going to go live on our website. There'll be an auction of, I don't know if either of you have seen when you've come into our building, but there's a mosaic piece. It looks like one image, but it's been painted by 16 different people in the class, and it's of Shielfield.
Yes, wow. I think we've seen that.
Yeah, so they've done the two classes have done another two paintings of different scenes, and those we're going to try and auction off for as much money as we can to try and raise funds again for SOAR. And there's also, they've had a competition. Within the class, they had a brief on growth and what that means to them. So the winners are going to be announced hopefully next week. And that's from members within the class.
How exciting.
Yeah. Oh, so I can see so much still going on.
Like, there's so much I could say about that. I just think that's beautiful because it reminds me of the organisation in North Tyneside, because I'm in North Shields as we speak. Oh. And there's the North Tyneside Art Studios, which is just studios where people with mental health issues or, you know, various things going on in their lives can just use the space to, it's not like art therapy, it's just like using art as a way to work through some stuff or take your mind off something, or, and it's really peaceful, as art people, I'm sure many of our listeners understand. And a lot of people, I think, just need a little push and a bit of guidance, because it's not maybe something they'd have the confidence to just do in their house by themselves. And there is that community and communal aspect to it. So it's the impact that can have on someone's mental well-being is phenomenal. So it is so fantastic that you've kept that up. Because as you said, it's quarantine and lockdown in particular is rough for a lot of people.
I think as well, coming out of COVID, there's going to be a lot of people struggling with their mental health, even more so than there was before. So for that to be, not have stigma anymore to be talked about, but also for there to be support places that people can go to for support is really important.
I love that. I like just support generally, because I'm not necessarily, I think the thing is a lot of people assume maybe if you've got a health issue, you need to go and talk to like a doctor or a therapist or some sort of professional. But it's not as simple as that. Sometimes it is that you just need to be in the, like, I feel like a creative space is a safe space a lot of the time. Like, it can help people kind of openly express themselves. And hopefully, you know, I can imagine Saw has like nurtured a place where it's free of judgment and all that good stuff. You know, it's not, I would never describe Saw as like a pretentious art gallery, you know, it just isn't. So it like offers, it's a true support, but like, so it could truly be part of someone's greater support system. I can definitely see that happening. And as I said, people listening, if you're looking after your mental health, it's not just doctors, it's not just friends and family. You got to have that in-between space too.
Yeah, we've been doing a mental health first aid course at work recently, and part of that is other places of support, so like Painting for Fun. Yeah.
Oh, lovely. I do love the fun emphasis, because it's like, just give it a go. It can go on a wall, yeah. It could go and draw, like, yes. It's just for funsies.
Yeah.
It's like, the activity itself is like the goal. Not the end product necessarily.
Yes.
But the end product's always lovely to see. So I'm glad there's the online gallery for that.
Well, I always think at some point people lose the gusto they have as children, who they like, children sit down with their felt tips and draw like their life depends on it. And then they show someone like it's the best thing. Like, they know, look what I did. Look at this. How cool is this? I made this. And somewhere along the line, we lose that. And I think that's sad. So let's nurture that.
Yeah, I think we all have the ability to be creative. We just often don't try. So yeah, just being creative is great.
Yeah.
Yes, giving it a go.
Couldn't agree more.
Well, I think on that lovely positive note, I think we can wrap up there. This has been lovely. Yeah. It's always a delight, like, just hearing about what local arts organisations and kind of community space has been up to. And especially during lockdown, to hear that they still exist and still do stuff is always just lovely. Great to hear.
Yes. Kind of a comfort. And I really, really hope that we can spread the word. And everyone listening, go tell everyone you know, we need to support Shieldfield Artworks. We're on a mission.
We are, absolutely, 100%. A way we like to end episodes, Lydia, is much like we started them, talk about something like good or cool or like something that maybe you're looking forward to. I'm looking forward to, like, I'm a bit kind of nervous about it, but I am looking forward to art galleries opening back up again, because it's just one of those things. It's like it's a nice activity I really took for granted. It's like, oh yeah, I can just pop into like the Lang or something on like a Saturday or like a free afternoon or something. So it's just one of those spaces I took for granted, considering like Somnium are free in Newcastle as well. It's just a nice free thing to do, to get like some culture and get some art in you. So I'm looking forward to like booking my time slots and like going around a gallery in like the next couple of weeks.
Can I come?
Yeah, of course.
Thanks. Just invite myself.
Pop your mask on, we'll get away.
Well, that's my good thing too. No, not really.
What is your good thing, Rosie?
Well...
Oh, what are you looking forward to?
I was going to say something along the same lines, but I do feel like that's cheating now. So instead,
I got that first.
Instead, it's like the same vibe, but totally different, in that I'm excited, but also extremely nervous to go to IKEA on Monday.
Oh.
So I'm going to go to IKEA. Hopefully they still sell hot dogs and ice cream, because
oh my God,
that's what I want. And I'm going to go and look at kitchens. So... which I think is quite exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Because my kitchen's minging. I hate my kitchen. And something that is not a good thing, has no place on this podcast, is that me and my partner realised that the house we just moved in, well, we've lived here a year. It's taken a year for us to fully appreciate that every single appliance in our kitchen that came with this house is broken in some way. Beautiful. The boiler leaks, the tap in the kitchen's broken, the oven stopped working, just everything. And then, bless his heart, Jacob's like, but oh no, it's fine, the washing machine works. And then I was like, yeah, I brought the washing machine. So my good thing is going to be, eventually, I'm looking forward to it so much, I'm going to get a lovely, beautiful working kitchen.
I'm very excited for you.
It's going to be like all my Christmases come at once. Lydia, what about you? What are you looking forward to?
I guess I'll do something saw related, Shieldfoot Artworks related. So when the wheat is harvested and we baked it, we're planning a harvest festival, probably in October. So I'm really looking forward to however that looks, depending on government guidelines. But yeah, being able to see people and just eat the same thing as people. And yeah, celebrate our community.
Oh, I would love to come to a harvest festival because I don't think I've like celebrated the harvest since like fair school and like, you know, when you're like,
I have to say primary school,
and I always loved it. So I was like yeah, I forgot that. Wow, I was like recovered memories right now. Woo.
And also this is like proper harvest. We have grown wheat.
Yes.
So. Yeah, so you got something legit to harvest.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Very exciting. That is something to look forward to.
Yeah.
That's pretty sick.
Good hustle, guys. Oh, lovely. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Well, if you want to find out more about what Shieldfield Artworks have been up to and to find more information about the Just Given, you can find them at www.saw-newcastle.org. And I want to say you're on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, and Instagram.
And Instagram, everyone's on Instagram. And we're also on Instagram and Twitter, not Facebook though. We're at Hey Art What's Good, and we've got a website, nice shiny new one, heyartwhatsgood.com. I had to double check there in my head, like, is that actually what it is? It is. So yeah, you can find out more information on all those channels. Thank you so much, Lydia, for coming on and having a chat with us.
Yeah, it's been great.
Thanks for having me.
I've really enjoyed it. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Yeah. And we'll see you in the next one.
Thanks everyone. Bye.